Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune, back in San Diego after the Padres. You know, very successful road trip. A loss in the finale to the Marlins, and that was the only loss in the six games. They fell one game short of the first 6-0 road trip. The first road trip of six games or more that would have been undefeated in team history. Really doesn't matter. They have won 16 of their past 19 games. Ryan, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with yesterday. And I think that the big story, the thing that may have kept them from having a 6-0 road trip here was a call unlike anything I've ever seen in baseball, Kevin. I don't know about you. Take me through the Ha-Sung Kim home run that was really a ground rule double.
Ha-Sung Kim hits a ball two outs in the ninth inning. Padres are down by a run. He's facing Andrew Nardi. I think that Miami manager Skip Schumacher, he's really just trying to get, you know, young guys' experience. So for some reason, Nardi's still in there, and Ha-Sung Kim does what he's supposed to do. And he, after striking out three times, this was the incredible thing that players were talking about afterward. Is they're like, could he really do it? Could he really do it? Like, he's, you know, he's not having a good day, but this is how it's going for the Padres. So Ha-Sung Kim drives a ball. It hits the padding, crooked padding, by the way, on top of the wall in left field. Gets just past the left fielder, Kyle Stowers, a Christian High grad. Which is neither here nor there, but I do that all the time. Then bounces back toward the field, hits Stowers' glove, and bounces over the wall. Ruled a home run on the field. Ha-Sung Kim circles the bases. Shock, jubilation. Padres think they've tied the game, but very quickly. I mean, basically before Kim had crossed home plate, as they are can do, and if it's not obvious, they're going to review every home run, and they reviewed this, and the ground rule is that if the ball in flight hits a wall and then a player and then goes out of the ballpark, it is a ground rule double.
Right. This is not like a fly ball hitting Jose Canseco's head, bouncing off his head and over the wall.
Then it's still in flight. Yes.
Right. It's not like it hitting a fielder's glove. The fielder hits the wall and the ball goes over. That's a home run. This is something different. It hit the wall, then his glove, then went out of bounds, out of play.
Right. And so that once it hit something, the wall, basically, then it is a double if he knocks it out. Hey, they might have been better if he'd knocked it and then Kim is inside the park home run. Who knows? But they got a ground rule double. Luis Camposano strikes out. And the Padres lose by one run. Look, this is why it's so impressive that they are 16-3. Like, they won some games. They, you know, you could argue they shouldn't have. They won 3-4 games on this trip that the other team was lamenting that they could have, should have, would have won had the Padres not come through in big moments, for sure, but also got a little fortunate.
Yeah, it speaks to how well the Padres have been playing that you're disappointed when they don't pull off this sort of last inning comeback, right? Or not, disappointed is not the word, but you're surprised when they don't, because so many things have gone well, even in that Marlins series, right? I mean, they rallied to win the first two games, showing, you know, what does Mike Schilt call them? Team Scrappy something?
Team Grit Squad.
There we go. Team Grit Squad. They're doing the Team Grit Squad stuff, but they're also living dangerously. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we try to provide on this show is some context, is a little bit of complexity, right? This is a team that just went on the road to play one struggling team, one objectively terrible team, and had to rally most nights. And there's a pattern here that's familiar to people who've been following the Padres so far. Get down early, you know, to use a basketball term, full court press the rest of the game, and then get yourself back in it. That's not going to work in October, is it?
Well, it would really be something special, right? Like, you're right. Like, it would really be something special if once you are, let's give them, I'm with you. I don't want this to at all take away from what the point that you're making here. Before the trade deadline, they went on that trip and played two really good teams and took two of three from the Guardians and from the Orioles. I believe that they are a team that is good enough to beat anybody in the league when, you know, they're playing like they can. And you can't say that about more than a handful of teams. But you nailed it. Like, and to me, Okay, they've gotten two quality starts in the last 12 games, I believe it is. They're middle relievers, the guys who have to pitch in higher leverage situations when the high leverage guys are down, or the middle relievers are the guys who have to take a one or a two run lead at, or deficit and keep it at a one or two run deficit. They have not been doing well. There's your real problem, though. Look, yesterday there were two errors early that led to three unearned runs. Matt Waldron and two other pitchers gave Jake Berger pitches to hit when Jake Berger might be the Marlins' only legit major leaguer at this point. And I exaggerate only slightly. They are leaving a lot of guys on base early. And this is you're playing the Dodgers, you are playing the Phillies. Most likely that is going to haunt you.
Yeah, let's talk about the bullpen there for a minute. Yuki Matsui seems to really be struggling. Jeremiah Estrada is now showing more of what we would expect from essentially a guy in his first full season in the big leagues. Ups and downs. How problematic has this become, and are there any solutions? I mean, we're 2 weeks removed from the trade deadline.
It's not even something that we notice if some of these other things, right? Like they were pressed into with the rain. Dylan Cease only goes one, so then they got to do eight innings the bullpen does at the start of that road trip, which is going to be the start of the first of nine straight games, nine games in 9 days. So that's a problem, right? And this was bound. It's amazing that they were able to get through as well as they did before having yesterday. But it wouldn't even be something we're talking about if they got a 6-0 lead or something, right? Like easier said than done. But they basically, after that first game, they didn't do it. So, like, they were down or it was very close in every game. And so, well, since they had five straight comebacks and four of them in the eighth inning or later, you know, they were down. If we're going to say, hey, this is a team that's now 12 games over 500, we expect them to be a playoff team, we expect them to be a championship contender, we have to look this deep and go, hey, there's going to come a time when Jeremiah Estrada is going to have to come in and he's going to have to get some crucial outs. So how do we get this kid who has had a rough season physically? I mean, he was terribly sick. He's in his first full big league season. He really didn't pitch that much in the minors when you talk about injuries and illness. How do you get him to where he can be effective at this point in the year and later? Yuki Matsui, hey, how about you don't throw balls down the middle? But the real thing is, like, their bullpen's deep enough, man, but not when you're on a six-game road trip that started with you having to cover eight innings, and then you only got one quality start in there. I think they got it in this trip. Yes, Martin Perez. That doesn't work, man. So I'm going to stick up for the bullpen a little bit, because the guys that you're expecting to pitch your higher leverage situations, they mostly have been doing exactly that successfully.
Well, and you get into this sort of weird spin cycle, too, where, you know, the Padres send down Randy Vasquez because, gosh darn it, they need long relief. And then they bring up Johnny Brito. Johnny Brito may have been the star of Saturday's game.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Right. But then they need more long relief. And so you got to send Johnny Brito down. You call up Thompson, right? Sean Reynolds.
I don't know where you got that, but that happens to me all the time. But go ahead.
Don't the Diamondbacks have a guy who looks like Sean Reynolds, big tall guy who they got from Tampa?
I want to give that to you. Yeah, I want to
give
that.
Yeah, okay. Give me that. Anyway, but you know, then they go get Reynolds. Again, they need some long relief, and he pitched yesterday. But at some point, you're going to run out of guys, and at some point, you're going to run out of sort of rationale. That is why starting tonight, I think it's so important. Joe Musgrove returns from the injured list tonight. The Padres open a three-game series against the Pirates at Petco Park. Where is he physically, and what's the expectation?
And guess what? I mean, best case scenario, he gives you five, so you've got to cover four. I mean, it would be at 60 pitches or so. It would be pretty cool if he went four. So now you've got to cover five innings, man.
Right.
And so I don't think that if they are in position to chase a victory, that Mike Schilt's going to chase it that hard tonight. I think that if he does, I think that's a mistake. And I don't know how many times that I would definitively say that about this manager here. I'm very reluctant to say it about any manager, because almost the worst manager in baseball knows more about baseball than me, and he knows more about the health of his players and you know what's happening with his team than me. But the fact is, like, he's not going to throw a bunch of higher leverage guys at a 1 or 2 run deficit tonight because they pitched a lot lately, man. So Jason Adams gone 3 of the last 4. Suarez and Scott didn't pitch yesterday. They had gone 3 of the last 4. Morahone probably could go tonight. And I think Suarez and Scott could go, but we're talking about in ninth inning, and they would love to just stay away from both of those guys. So, like, again, Joe needs to get those 4, right? Anything more is a bonus at this point when he's coming back after 77 days, had 1 rehab start that got up. He was up 4 times. It was like 3 1/3 innings. And they need to score some runs. I think it's, is it Jake Woodford tonight? It was just announced this morning. And the Padres saw him, I think he did multiple innings in relief against them. And I think that was last Tuesday. So, I mean, it's a gettable guy for sure. He started some games for him, but he is, he's a guy. He's a young guy. So it's time to score some runs. And hey, look, they've ended up with 7, 8, 9 runs in games. It's time to score some runs early.
Yeah. Well, and it's part of it, too. And it's easy for me to say, sitting on my butt here in my home office, every once in a while, this team needs an easy one, right? Every once in a while, you know, you can't be pressing and trapping, so to speak, the whole game. You can't be pushing the whole game. That's just not sustainable. They've been great in one-run games. They've been great in extra-inning games.
It's not sustainable.
And to keep your pitching staff intact and to keep things from getting kind of out of control, you do need an easy one here and there, right?
You do. And it's also, it's not sustainable. It's exhausting. It's you know, I guess part of the not sustainable is there's some luck involved or like, I mean, that's why you play 162 games, man. That's why 1 year a team can have the worst record in one-run games and the next year have the best, or they're close, they're up near the top. But here's the reality, okay? I do want to give the Padres credit for those one-run games and the extra inning games and the comebacks and the games in which they lose leads and then win the game anyway. These are all things they're just way better at than last year. I want to give them credit for that, because I do think the chemistry is better. I think the preparation is better. I think the attention to detail is better. But it, as you just, bottom line, what you said, it's not sustainable.
No, it's not. It's not. And again, by the way, it's the Pirates and the Rockies this week. You know, I mean, the Padres should win these games, to be honest. You know, I know Denver's wacky. And yet, by the way, that's another reason why you need to get your bullpen straight. You need to get people back on regular rest, because Denver's going to be a nightmare, right?
Yeah, and you got an off day Thursday, but you are absolutely correct, right? Like,
right.
And they will. Like, they're thinking about it already, right? Like, you know, maybe someone will have a crazy injury and Johnny Brito will be back. But, yeah, no, they're thinking about it already. They've lined it up so that it's 3 guys who pitched fairly well in Waldron, Cease, and Musgrove, and pitched fairly well in Coors Field. But, yes, and then, look, that Friday in Coors starts a stretch of 18 games in 18 days, man. And it's Twins, Mets, Cardinals, Rays. And then I think the first game of the Tiger series. It's not a cakewalk, man. That's why, you know, you and I talked about at the start of this run here, and there's 6 games left in this 15-game run against teams that are beatable. They need to keep this up. But, yes, it would be great to get a reset on that pitching. And that's why I say, like, if they're down by 2, Mike just might use tonight as a reset. Like, you know, they want it to be a 9-0 win. But if it's a 9-0 loss, there will be a benefit that comes out of it. Carl Edwards will pitch 4 innings.
Yeah, you're right. Do we know what the corresponding move might be with Musgrove? I know, as it stands right now, we're 5 hours from first pitch.
I should, but, I mean, you're talking about, you've got Reynolds, who pitched yesterday, pitched an inning in the third. That could very well be it. Mm-hmm. And who is the other? And I wish that my computer's not on, because I'm kind of on the run here. They've been carrying 9 relievers, so
right.
I guess
it'll
it could be. I guess it could be Carl Edwards, but I think I'm thinking you need him. I'm thinking you need him. So could be that was a very quick trip for Reynolds. But there's something in the back of my head, and I'm sorry, Ryan. You know how it is on Mondays, the travel day. There's somebody I'm missing. Darn it.
Yeah. It's very interesting. This last road trip, Kevin, I think may be known as the Jackson Merrill trip. Somebody who continues to do some impressive things. Right now he is tied with Mel Ott for most, what was it, game-tying or go-ahead home runs after the whatever by a guy 21 and younger. He's doing stuff every day that, I mean, reiterates the fact that this guy is going to be a very good major leaguer for a long time.
He is, and that's the thing, is like I am somewhat dismissive of what rookies do, right? And like a rookie can get hot. He's here for a reason, right? He's a talented player. People have never seen him before. The Marlins aren't that good. Whatever things you want to say that explain why guys win rookie of the year awards and are never heard from again, basically, that is not Jackson Merrill. I don't know that he's going to be a 300 hitter. I don't know that he's going to have an 820 OPS and go 25 bombs every year. I don't know that. What I know is that his consistency, his knowledge of the game, his unselfishness, his unflappability, these are things that mean that this guy is a player. And he acknowledged the other day, and I'd written about it, but he finally acknowledged it, that there was this one short period in which he was pressing a little bit and trying to do more, trying to swing for the fences, perhaps, you know, putting some pressure on himself. One short period, a kid that has hit all these important home runs, had all these big games, has gotten all this attention, and yet, except for one little short period in his rookie season as a 20-year-old, he has just been the same guy, just trying to put the ball in play and let his talent play. And that is why you are, I think, correct about his major league career and what it can be.
Right. He's an all-star as a 21-year-old. He's a candidate for rookie of the year. And we'll put a pin in that question till later. But certainly somebody who has a flair for the dramatic, too. Again, it speaks to how well he is playing. He leads off the ninth inning yesterday in at their last stop, and it's in Miami. You're surprised that he didn't reach it, right? He pops out and you're like, oh, well, where's the home run? It just speaks to how well he's been playing. Hey, let's talk a little bit here about the next 3 days. It is a three-game series, Padres and Pirates at Petco Park.
Pirates were one game over when the Padres arrived in Pittsburgh. Right. They had lost one, but they were 56 and 55. They have lost every game since. So they're on a 7-game losing streak. They just went and got swept by the Dodgers, so it's been a little tough. This was going to be a test for them. They lost 2 of 3 to the Diamondbacks, all 3 to the Padres, all 3 to the Dodgers. The Pirates are who you basically thought that they were, right? Like a team with some good pitchers. I think they've got some good young players. They've got Andrew McCutchen at the top of the lineup, who gives you a real solid at bat. Still, he's a veteran. But look, they're a team that, yeah, the Padres are like, okay, all right, we got this. And they're a team that makes, you know, mistakes that young and pressing teams make. And it reminded me, actually, both of these series reminded me, but that Pirates series really reminded me, because I think that they are a team on the come. I think where the Marlins just, you know, they weren't good and then they gave away everybody. They're a Triple-A team now. With like some other guys, it's like a Triple-A team with some major leaguers on rehab assignment. That's what they look like. But the Pirates are a team that could be good, has some really good pitchers. And I remember when the Padres in 2019, 2021 even, you could even say 2022, man, when the Dodgers in the regular season, there was still this gap and the Padres would play them tough, but then the Padres would make one mistake or something and you would say, can't make mistakes, can't give the extra out to the Dodgers. That's what the last Pirates series was like. The Pirates could have won all 3 of those games. They made crucial mistakes. And yes, the Padres answered the bell. Yes. But the Pirates made crucial mistakes in every one of those games to either allow the Padres to stay in the game or allow the Padres to go ahead. And and so that's it. That's the kind of team you got to beat up on.
Absolutely. I think whether it's baseball or football or basketball, consistency is always the last thing that comes, right? The Pirates have shown that they can play well in spurts, that they can look like a playoff team in spurts, but they can't do it every day.
And they do it a lot better when one of their top 2 pitchers is on the mound.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, pitching matchups Tuesday, you've got Luis Ortiz. I mean, 5-2, 3.40 ERA, but he's been really bad lately against Michael King. Wednesday afternoon, Mitch Keller, Martin Perez.
Is that what it is? Okay, I had it as Perez King, but I'm sure that you're right. So,
oh well, if I'm wrong, Jeff Sanders is wrong.
So no, Jeff has it. That Jeff is always on it. So that's good for me to know. Even though, again, I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other this morning. It's one of those days. Yeah, the Padres did not see Keller. Keller got ripped by the Dodgers. The Padres did see Ortiz. Look, Manny Machado hit a 2-run bomb in the first inning. David Peralta hit a 2-run bomb in the second inning, and they didn't score. And he got through 6 innings against them. Mm-hmm. So that was great. They started off, and then they need to these are gettable pitchers here. They need to score some runs.
Sure. And you know who is not pitching for the second consecutive series against the Padres is Paul Skenes. And this is where I want to leave it today, because, Kevin, I know you got to get to the ballpark here. But I always put you on the spot. Last question today. Who's your National League Rookie of the Year, Kevin?
I would not have said that. You know, I did. You always want to fight against being a homer, right?
Right.
And I would have said it was going to be tough for Merrill. And it still might be, because the national media darling has been Skenes all year. Right. He seems to have caught their imagination. Jackson Merrill on this trip did exactly what you need to do to break through the narrative, to put yourself on the map. If it just was this, like, oh, people looked up at the end and were like, oh, well, there's this other rookie. And look at his numbers. They're pretty good. But, you know, Paul Skenes, he's the guy I've been watching all year. Well, Jackson Merrill was on all the highlight shows, this week. Jackson Merrill's being talked about. Jackson Merrill's all over social media. So Rookie of the Year voters not only are saying, you know, especially if they've seen the Padres play, hey, this is a really good player, they've noticed the impact player that he is. I think Jackson Merrill's got a shot. To me, you give the nod to an everyday player. If you're doing a coin toss, you give the nod to an everyday player if his stats support that. Mm-hmm. What does Paul Skenes do? He's got 7-8 more starts. Yes, he faced the Dodgers the other day, but that was his, you know, one of his bad starts. He hasn't been as good lately. Mm-hmm. I think this race is up for grabs.
Yep. Jackson Merrill was just named the National League Player of the Week, by the way. Which is interesting. Paul Skenes, and again, you know, he's a top pick. He's got the famous girlfriend, was the starter in the All-Star game. That is, the narrative is he's a once-in-a-generation guy, right? Yep. The narrative is he's Strasburg, he's Mark Pryor.
Yep.
He's one of those guys. What Jackson Merrill did, I think, this weekend, you're right, is he had sort of his own moment. The narrative is now, you know, don't pitch to Jackson Merrill with the game on the line. And yep. And we'll see how that goes. Padres Pirates 3-game series starting tonight at Petco Park. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.